Welcome everyone to the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast series. This is Julie Anderson, your host, and I am so excited for another special release of a podcast connected to a special project that we have going on. And being able to share this interview with one of our amazing co-authors, Nikki Robotham. Did I pronounce that right?
You got it perfect.
I love it. So welcome to the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie. It's such a pleasure to be here.
I am going to read for our listeners and our watchers your professional bio, and then we're going to get down to who Nikki really is. So Nikki is the founder of Foundational Frequency and Inspired Change. She is an author, speaker, and coach, and she helps conscious and empowered people move into embodied mastery, the highest expression of themselves. These practices are all about redefining success for ourselves, rooted in resonant energy, our frequency, and internal alignment as we move from ego-based manifestation to soul-based quantum manifestation. Oh, I like that. She has published 2 books on stress management. One is 7 Steps to Finding Flow, Flip the Script on Stress. I love that. We'll have to talk about that one. And Personal Transformation, Embrace Your Elegant Power, Your Path to Success Through Ease. And works as a coach and speaker for individuals, entrepreneurs, and corporates. Welcome again, Nikki, to the We Podcast.
Thank you. It's just, as I said, a pleasure to be here and be working and collaborating with so many incredible women and individuals from around the world. I just think that's where the magic happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you get a bunch of great brains together, great things happen. And the whole idea is to provide kind of a launching pad to help women to excel wherever they're at in their lives. So tell us a little bit of the unscripted part of Nikki, like what led you to where you're at in your life? Because you, as we were discussing before we started recording, you were in a very corporate career, very what I would call left brain, technical, dollars and cents kind of a career. And now you're in developing life mastery. So tell us a little bit about that story.
Well, I think it really starts, you know, when we're younger and we get taught from a very young age what the world and society values. And I very quickly fell into that rhythm of chasing those gold stars of external validation and tuning into what I call external authorities. I excelled at high school. I chased the right university degree, became a chartered accountant, MBA in competitive economics, and was really building and fixing businesses and financial services, both in South Africa and overseas in the UK. And it was all about that ladder, that linear path up where let's get the next title, the next, you know, bonus that was coming, or, you know, the next achievement. And it was all under the guise of, you know, having impact in the right way. But I definitely got one of those moments where I got stopped and it was almost asked me to question the path that I'd been on. I was mentioning before we started recording that I'd been like the dog chasing the car. You know, you keep chasing, and then you catch it. And you go, is this all? And I think it was that moment of reckoning that was also brought on by health complications as a result of that single-minded focus. And all of a sudden, these new opportunities and different sort of, you know, creative expressions came to me to sort of start to step into. And I've been given this incredibly easeful path to almost transition from that space, stepping away from big leadership and moving more into still being able to support myself through incredible opportunities. But now I've got a journal range. I'm a speaker and a coach. Just for example, Inspired Change is a journal range because I want people to get off screens and tune back into themselves in a way that isn't always in that distracted world. Sure. But then I started to work with energy and frequency, and Foundational Frequency is actually my energy and wellness center where we work with scalar and biophotonic energy, the energy enhancement system, to really support people to repower their cells at a cellular level. And we've had such incredible support there, both in terms of awareness and consciousness, where they start to come to realizations like, you know, I regulate my nervous system with food. And that normally takes years of therapy. And so working in a different way, rather than just treating ourselves as what I call chemical and physical, we're starting to look at the electrical nature of the body, the energetic nature of the body, using, you know, the cell's individual charge, and how do we get that back up? So our bodies have energy to heal ourselves. And so all of these things have come together, the writing of my books, which are all my lived experience. They were basically the research I did and the process I went through, the realizations I came to really help support people in a different way. I always believe that we should help other people to learn the lessons quicker than we did.
Yeah.
And I came across a quote the other day that says, you know, a smart, and I'm going to paraphrase here, I'm not going to get it completely right. You know, a smart man learns from his lessons. A wise man learns from the lessons of others. And that really is, you know, why I write, why I share, and why, you know, I've been called into what I call mastery coaching, because we're all here with individual gifts.
Yeah.
Rather than cookie cutter approaches where we all just chase those, you know, 10 traits we were told that were valued in society, how do you really tune into what lights you up? Because we didn't just come to this life to eat, sleep, and pop a pill on the hamster wheel of life. And now I've given you a whole lot. I'm going to stop talking for a few seconds.
No, I love that, because it's a lot of what, as the brain lady, that I go in and I talk about, you know, that natural brain wiring. And you did what so many people, I think, especially women, I'm not saying that men don't fall into this too, because they absolutely do, especially those firstborn men, or those men that have that, you know, that higher level of expectation on them. But I think we look for, and part of it is that our brain isn't completely developed as a teen, right? We just don't have it all there. So we're very open to the influences of others, and oh, okay, this is what I need to do so that as an adult, I'm going to have a great life and everybody's going to love me and I'm going to fit. That'll be my place in the world. And we aren't ready at that point yet. Our brains just aren't ready to make that kind of a decision. We really have to do more internal thinking to figure out what is my natural gifts? What are my natural wiring? And I think that's, in some sense, what you were saying, you know, what is that passion that you really as an individual have? And then how do you tap in and gain mastery over that? Now, you said that you were doing the corporate side. Was there like a defining moment or a specific life episode or event or something that made you go, this really isn't what I want to do. I'd much rather be doing something that makes me feel better. Like, was there something there?
There were two very like aha moments, as I call them. And the one was the health complication, where I'd been struggling with sort of what I'm going to call stomach or gut issues for a long time. And literally I had a 2 minute like consult with a general practitioner, a doctor. And he basically gave me a diagnosis without really asking a whole lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the first times when that intuition started to come through. And I kind of followed all of that and was led to the most incredible people to support me to understand that it was actually based on my nervous system. And there were many other lifestyle factors, but my nervous system, if you understand your autonomic nervous system and what they call the vagus nerve, it was in a state of freeze, which is basically that hyper state of fight or flight that they normally see in wartime victims. Mm-hmm. But basically everything looked like a stressor. And I was literally, you know, you picture someone in a bomb shelter waiting for the next bomb to drop. That was an email. That was, you know, a demand from a boss, or actually anyone at that point in my life, because I'd been clinging to that for so long. And so it really just, there was an incredibly supportive path that I went on to heal, using a lot of natural modalities, supportive therapeutic modalities as well, and was able to literally reverse my symptoms in under 6 months. And a lot of the medical professionals I worked with were astounded, because they said this takes people 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And I said, that's the benefit of the A plus type personality that I had in corporate. I
Yeah.
applied that to my own life and was able to heal that. But it was almost like I hadn't, there was still an attachment to some of that corporate identity. So I tuned into a lot of a different way of operating that I needed to when I brought my nervous system back into what I call flow, where stress wasn't happening up close and personal. It's almost like I could see stresses coming and I could choose to respond differently. It was almost like I'd brought my body back onto my team, if I can call it that, because so many of us to cope dissociate from our bodies. And I often, we talk a lot in society about our IQ and our EQ, that emotional quotient and our intellectual quotient as being, some of the things we have to work with. But I said to a lot of people, what I realized is that I was leaving what I call my soul quotient behind. And it had been a bit of a wobbly stool, just using IQ and EQ. I had to tune back into my heart, which is where my intuition comes from. That's for me where our soul, our real sort of like path comes from, because our hearts are so incredibly powerful, but we've valued our brain over our heart. But when you look at the studies done, and I believe they both have a part in leading us. I'm not poo-pooing brain as someone who's been intellectual studies for all of our lives, but I realized that part of my power was coming back to my heart space. Actually, the HeartMath Institute in the US, Dr. Roland McCrathy did studies around it and looked at the amplitude of our heart, electromagnetic waves, 60 times greater than our brain. And literally creates this electromagnetic field around us, which is how we sense other people's energy. Whether you walk into a boardroom or whether you are, someone in traffic behind you, we feel that energy from them. Most of us just haven't tuned into it. So for me, it was getting all of that back onto the same page and starting to listen to them in a more balanced way. And it just led me to the right paths and the right nuances. And the second event was a what I'm going to call a corporate bully that I had been coping with for a very long time. And it got to the point where I had to put myself first, say this is not worth it anymore. And it was a moment of just, I literally had this moment in my head. I had a mic drop moment and I walked off into this imaginary forest and I just went, I'm done. And there were just such supportive moments where I was able to just say that this is no longer worth it. And it's not what joy and success looks like for me. And it's never a once off and you're done. It's a journey and really sort of delayering, as I call it. But as soon as you start to tune into that inner authority where you listen to yourself, and you know that you can guide yourself most probably better than many other people who claim to be an expert over your life, it takes power back. And that to me was where the game changed.
I heard several things in that story that resonated so well with me. And it's very true. There's neuroscience is now talking about three brains, right? You have your primary, your brain, your
Yes.
gut brain, which that is such an indicator of something being off in your body or being overly stressed. When you have digestive upset, there is something in your life that is stressing you out because you're not able to. It's the amygdala is on fire and you don't know it. Oftentimes, people are so in that fight, flight, freeze, conserve, withdraw state. They don't, it's so natural. It feels natural. Not, it is natural, but it feels natural for them because they're there all the time. So it's just the way it is. And now they're calling the third brain, which is the heart. Because of all of those neurons, and you mentioned the vagus nerve, and the vagus nerve is the communication pathway, right? So this is how all of these brains, communicate with each other. And if that vagus nerve is frozen, is not, it's like you have too much traffic, or it's blocked somehow through an emotional happening or something. So, I love the way that you were able to, in your real life, go, okay, something's off, and then be brave enough to make that step. And that's part of what we want for women, right? Is to be able to excel. They need to recognize what's holding them back. And sometimes
And
it's doing what they feel is the right thing, or what they've been told is the right thing.
And I was just going to say that women, especially, are incredibly intuitive. We need to start listening to that more and more, because we have, and our bodies have the most innate wisdom. We've just always thought, and I see this so much in my wellness center, we thought we know better for so long, and we're used to treating symptoms at the surface level. But when we go to the root cause, it actually becomes super simple. And we just have to not overthink it and not think that we can force things to happen. And I talk a lot in my second book about that dynamic around power versus force, because for so long we've misconstrued, force, which is control over another, that almost like it's that it demands a counterforce, like a bully. You have to respond. Whereas true power, when we're standing in our own power, it doesn't require a counterforce. It's like that lighthouse energy. And I love how Anne Lamott puts it using the lighthouse analogy. She says that a lighthouse doesn't run all over the island looking for boats to save, just stands there shining. And for me, that's what I want for so many more women, is to stand in their own. That's why I call it elegant power, because we have it, it's innate. And men can have elegant power too. A lot of people think it's only a feminine thing, but we really have to tune in back into that innate energy within us that says, I'm enough now. I don't need to become enough. I'm already enough. If we start there, coming from that place of knowing that we have everything we need and we're worthy right now, we operate differently into the world. We don't try and make everyone else happy, because the validation starts from within.
Yeah, so very true. So very true. And I think more and more, I think as society in general changes their viewpoints or is more open to all of this science supporting the thoughts of energy or electricity, I always tell people, they're like, well, I don't know about that. I'm like, well, do you realize every single cognitive thought is simply an electrical message going from one neuron to the other, right? If you doubt the whole internet, yeah, like it's just firing. The heart is just electrical impulses, right? So understanding that and how your mindset, what you're thinking in your mind, and your expectations you place on yourself or other people, or other people have placed on you, then can either help to improve that, all of that, or bring it down.
And I love how you've described it to people, because it feels like we're talking exactly the same language. I use a very simple way to put it across to people who maybe don't get that. And I said to them, that's why they'll use a defibrillator to restart your heart.
Exactly.
That's why we can build up a static charge. It's and why we have an ECG. All of these are using the electrical nature of our bodies. Every mitochondria has a charge within our cells, and we need to work with that in a different way.
Yeah.
And it's simple things that you get. And that's why I use the analogy of energy around sensing people in traffic or in walking into a boardroom, because we all know that. We just haven't tuned into what we're maybe sensing. And I do think we're going to see a different balance coming back for people, where they start to understand that and tune into it.
Yeah. And you can start, I mean, I think most people, I shouldn't say everyone, but I think most people have had those experiences where if you walk into a room and there have been two people who have been arguing and you didn't hear any of the argument, you didn't hear any of the hostile words, but you walk into the room and it's like instantly you feel it's like, whoa, what is going on here?
But what's fascinating as well, and has been such a part of my journey, is having empathy for myself and others around the things that we've done to stay safe, to navigate this path through life in a way that kind of keeps us safe at the same time. And we kind of build what I call a projected identity, the world, the identity we put out to the world, that mask that we wear that we think will be socially acceptable and will make us more successful. But we've got to remember that at our essence, we've got this true identity of who we are. And it's about how do we get back as close as possible to that? Because
Yeah.
that's really what lights us up. That's really what's going to, make a difference. If we really sort of start to live that path, you know, at the end of our lives. That's the stuff where the magic for me happens, because we've allowed ourselves to be truly seen in a more vulnerable way. And we value it. We don't need the approval of others.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I talk a lot about that when I, you know, because I have the personality assessment that's based on that brain wiring. And one of the things that I tell people is you often mask who you, what your natural gifts are for pleasing other people. And we're trained from the time we go to school, there's a right answer and there's a wrong answer. So you're always searching for the right answer, which means whatever is going to make that other person say yes, or you're right, or whatever. And there isn't always one right answer, right? There can be 10 right answers. It just depends on the perspective of the person answering the question. And so really being able to tap into that and kind of pull back all of those layers that you have put on in your life to achieve what you think, whether it's degrees in schooling or education, or, you know, as you said, climbing in the beginning, you know, climbing that corporate ladder or that ladder of success that somebody else laid out for you. And it doesn't, I don't think it always means you have to do a complete drop your life now and move on to something new. It just means you have to embrace who you are, I think.
Yeah. And I think to your point, because that's really what Hermione has felt, it's just being open to a completely different path. And someone actually said to me with the launch of my center and, you know, the writing of the books before the pandemic, being an author was not on any vision board that I'd put out there, but it was such a soul-based calling based on the research I'd done, but mainly my lived experience. I wanted to share that with people and share the stories, because it is from my own lived experience backed up by the science.
Right.
But you know, it was one of those things where I said, they said to me, this is the power of vision boards. I just said to them that I could not have even dreamt the abundance and this pathway that could have been, because I was open. And that's also where, that's where I talk about the difference between ego and quantum manifestation, because a lot of that ego manifestation comes from those, what I call the shoulds. It's the things we were told we should do. And so I talk a lot about the delayering process, or what I call unshackling from the shoulds, because, you know, a simple way to get someone to see how much of that conditioning's crept into their lives. So I said, be aware of how many times you say should during the course of the day. And people, I mean, I was astounded the first time I did it. I was actually horrified. I was like, good Lord. And when you become aware of it, the consciousness starts to permeate and you go, ah, oh, I see you there. Thank you for showing me where I need to sort of maybe do a bit more work. And so it's such an easy way for people to see how it's manifesting. And so when we start to really tune into that more intuitive, heart-led way, and see the lessons through more awareness that are coming up for us, that's where we can access a path that can literally, you know, almost sort of leapfrog what I'm going to call normal timelines to get something done. Because the pace that some of these things have happened, like someone said to me, how did this all happen? It's like it's overnight. And I said, there was a lot of work that went into it.
Sure.
But it, because I was open and I listened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And being okay listening to what your brain's trying to communicate to you, right? Being okay, because sometimes it's so foreign to what we were raised to think is right. And when you're like that, then you have, when you're really open like you were, then things work a little faster. And for those who are listening, if it's not working that fast for you, that's okay. That's all right. That's what we're here for, is to help you, help with peeling back those layers or moving those blocks in your thinking, you know, in aside, or adjusting them or helping with that.
And to that point, I often say to people, look at where you're getting, and you'll hear me use the word flow a lot in my work, where we're getting into what I call that universal slipstream. Like where things, all of a sudden there's synchronicities that are happening, the right people are coming, the right opportunities. That's often where it's a yes for us. Where we hit resistance, where it's like it's not working for us and we're trying to force it. That's maybe where we have to take a step back. Because anywhere that we're forcing, it's normally sitting in that old energy of conditioning. And so that's one of the quickest routes I say to people is sometimes we are delayed on that path because other things need to come into alignment. There's more things we need to process and let go of. But when we really things start to come together, that's often where we're in our most aligned energy. And so I also say to people, like, again, where you're getting no's, where doors are being closed, where it's just not happening, and you just feel like you're in treacle trying to push something to make it happen. That's maybe a sign you need to reconsider exactly maybe the path you're taking, maybe an aspect of it, and maybe sit down and say, actually, what do I really want out of this? If we tune back in, the path normally opens up.
Very much so. Very much so. And listening, l literally listening to your gut too, right? Because you got millions of neurons down there in your gut. And if you're feeling a tension, some kind of tension in that area or a little bit of, I mean, yes, sometimes when you are expanding, you're going to feel butterflies, right? You're going to feel that too. But if you're feeling the negative expression of that in your body, in your gut, it's gonna listen to it a little bit more. I don't think we're trained to do that enough. Well, let's go to the project that, and I was telling Nikki before we started this recording how honored I am that she's part of the project and how blessed I am that it's led me to meet her. Like, I wasn't even connected to Nikki, didn't even know about her until we started the Women Excelling Everywhere, What Sparked Their Passion and Success project, book project, collaborative book project. And now I've been watching her on Instagram, and it's like, I just, so much of what she teaches resonates with me so much. And I'm so blessed to have her part of this project. What led you, Nikki, to be interested in contributing to this book?
I think for me, storytelling is so incredibly powerful. And it really was asking women to tell their stories. But it was this element of collaborative, sort of supportive community and women really supporting each other and creating a platform that supports other women who may be walking alongside us, and maybe need, perspectives to really help give them guidance that they're not alone, that there is a different way. Or because there's so many women involved in this, and I just think everyone is going to take a nugget or a little sound bite from every chapter that really then supports them. And collaboration over competition is something I'm so passionate about because I believe we can all succeed. And so I think it was all of those things, plus getting to meet incredible people like yourself, Julie, like some of the other authors. For me, even some of the small conversations I've had already with some of the other authors, I know why we were brought together. It became so apparent in just a short conversation that there's so many intersection points between what we're doing. And I do think that it needs to have a platform. And I think this is such an incredible platform.
I love it. I love it. And I love the, I echo everything that you're saying. It really, there's the different stories are going to resonate with different people. And that was my hope in creating the book. It was like that one of those stories in that chapter or in that book, someone reading is going to go, oh, this chapter, this one, I was in corporate. I was doing that. I can do this. If she could do it, I can do it. Or we have other ones that are we have another co-author that was in a very abusive marriage, and she didn't realize it, right? Because she was being gaslighted. She was so typically, or that typical victim of I don't know it. And so someone reading her chapter may go, wait a minute. And so those are the things that I think are brilliant is, again, what you said, the stories and being able to share those different stories and have them come out collaborative. And yes, we will continue this collaboration beyond the book, beyond that. And we are looking, I am looking forward to continuing to bring the power of all of our minds and our intuitions into a space to support women wherever they are at. So again, Honored. Now, if you want to stay connected with Nikki, of course, all of her chapter is in going to be in the Women Excelling Everywhere collaborative book. I want everyone listening to mark your calendars for February 23rd, because that is when you'll be able to download the Kindle version and you'll be able to read Nikki's chapter, my chapter, and all of the other wonderful co-authors that we're going to be highlighting here in the next couple of weeks. But you can also stay connected with Nikki at Nikki Robotham. Is her at Nikki Robotham is her Instagram, and she is nikkirobotham.com. And I'm going to spell that. So Nikki is spelled with a Y, Nickey, and it's Robotham. So just rewind the tape if you need to get that spelling, just so you're able to stay connected with her, and you'll be able to check out her other books that she mentioned. And just stay connected. She shares a lot of wonderful stuff on Instagram. I am, as I said in the beginning, I'm really enjoying getting to know Nikki as a whole by seeing your feet in the grass, grounding in the grass.
Absolutely. Someone once said to me, like, and it's one of those things, because I've shared so much around so many diverse things, whether it be stress management, whether it be personal power, energy and frequency. I said to people, I'm not really a specialist. I'm more of what they now call a polymath. I'm a specialist in many areas, and
Yes.
I'll help you join the dots to really kind of find meaning for yourself in your life, whatever it may be, in whatever aspect of your life. And I think that's also been part of the joy of my life, is knowing that all of these things I've been led to because there's intersection between them all. And it's how to achieve them for people, because I want people to live their best lives.
Yeah, and enjoy it, right? Enjoy it. Be happy. Be happy. So I
Absolutely.
love. Well, thank you once again, Nikki, for being on this podcast and for being part of this project. I greatly am honored that you are part of it. And for
Thanks,
the
Julie.
absolutely. And for those who are listening, again, mark your calendars. February 23rd, we will be basically at 9 a.m. wherever you're at in the world. So Nikki's in South Africa. I'm in California. So wherever you're at in the world, that's when everything will begin to roll out. Just 9 a.m. on the 23rd. And you can stay connected with us at womenexcellingeverywhere.com for updates. We are the same thing on the social medias. You can shoot us an email at info@womenexcellingeverywhere.com if you are interested in more information or want to know more about one of the co-authors that I've been interviewing, and maybe we missed something on the getting contact information. Then just shoot us an email and keep connected. Give us a like, give us a follow on the Women Excelling Everywhere podcast, because we will continue to highlight wonderful women who are excelling everywhere in their lives, whether that's in a corporate career, it's in an entrepreneurial endeavor, it's you want support as parenting, right? There's so many that we just want you to be able to excel wherever you are at, and we help want to be part of that catalyst to do that for you. So, thank you for listening in. Stay connected with us. And as I like to end all of my podcasts, I want everybody to roll their shoulders back. Take a nice deep breath, fill up those lungs, go out there and simply enjoy every moment.